Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Kuf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will commence from the upper part of Daf Kuf Yud. You will notice there's a two dots around 10 lines from the top. There's a Dibur HaMasel V'Kulon Shehikrivon v'chule. The Mishnah mentioned that there were a number of items, a number of different examples of things, that if one were makriv a kezias, an olive quantity of them, outside, that would incur the guilt or the violation of haloas chutz, of offering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah also mentioned that if they were offered inside almost entirely, leaving a kezias amount of them, let us say of a meal offering, of a kometz, a handful of a meal offering that was not offered inside but was left over and then offered outside, that too would be chayev. The Mishnah also made reference to if any amount of these offerings is missing, what the din would be. So our Gemara will be dealing right now with the issue of what's called chisaron b'chutz. So if we look at the outside margin under our nosei topic heading, we will notice we feature here she'elah, a question. Ha'im chisaron b'chutz shmei chisaron oloi. What we're talking about is if one of these sacrifices is taken outside of the Azara, outside of the temple courtyard, complete. It's not missing anything, but once outside, some of the substance becomes lost or diminished, and then it is offered. Is that considered a halos chutz, an offering outside, and would be chayev, or possibly, since there is substance that's missing, it would be considered potter, exempt. The Gemara, Ibai Eloho, chisaron dechutz shmei chisaron oiloi shmei chisaron. Once again, the korban, if it was whatever items we want to mention, we have a whole list of things in the Mishnah that was on Kuf Tesomedes, Kaimetz, Lavoina, Ktoires, Minchas Koyanim, any of these things, they were taken out of the Beis HaMikdash complete, nothing missing. And then once outside, some of the substance got lost, and he then offered on an external altar outside the Beis HaMikdash that which was left. Is that chayev for is that guilty of ha'aloas chutz or not? The Gemara proceeds to analyze it, two sides of the question. And you can see that we've marked them off with a little aleph in parentheses and then a squiggle underlined expression O Dilma, or possibly Beis, the second side of the analysis. So the first side of the analysis is Mi Amrina, do we say Kevon de Nofak Ifsalu Lehu, once something leaves the temple courtyard before it's offered, it becomes pusel. And we know that if it leaves the temple courtyard in a complete form and is then offered outside, it incurs guilt. So that even though by the mere exiting of it, it becomes pusel, still it carries with it a prohibition. Mali choser, mali yotze. What difference does it make if the pesul, if the invalidation is a result of exiting, and still we know it bears a it bears guilt, or if it's missing, still it would bear guilt. Just like Yotzei, if one offers it up, one is guilty, even though Yotzei is pasul. So too, if one will offer up chaser, he will still be guilty. Oy Dilma, or possibly there is a distinction to be made between something that was Yotzei versus something that's chaser. Yotzei de'isei be'ene, Yotzei, a sacrificial item that left, but isei be'ene, it is still around, it is still extant, it is still complete. In that would carry with it guilt if offered up. However, dolesei be'ene, something that's missing, that's not extant anymore, that's not complete anymore, lo, maybe that would be exempt. Omar Abaye, Toshma. So Abaye says, let's try to derive the answer from the following. And we have a little volcano trapezoid form here, and that draws our attention to the explanation that accompanies it on the side. Under our Mivneh structural note, the outside margin, you see the Toshma and the volcano form. You see one over here in the Gemara, a number of lines later, another one. These are Nisyonos attempts, Lifshoit, to respond or to answer She'ela Hanal, the previous question, the question mentioned under our No Say heading, the question we're dealing with right now, Chisaron, Chisaron Dechutz. So Abaye says, Toshma, Rabbi Lezer Poter, Ad Shiakriv Es Kulon. Abaye tries to bring proof from Rabbi Lezer, says that there is exemption unless one offers up the item in its entirety. So that we see from here that if there is chisaron, there is exemption. Omar Lei, Rabo bar Rav Chonon Abaye. Rabo asks on Abaye's proof. He says, Midarebi Elazar Poshit Mar, are you trying to conclude the question from Shitas Rebbe Eliezer? Rebbe Eliezer, he is known to be an extreme, we'll say, extremely lenient, even in the event that it's taken out complete, in a complete form, where it's leaves the Azorah in a complete form. If any loss takes place before Haktara, there is exemption. But I still don't know from his Shita what would the Rabbanon hold. Omar Lei, so Abaye answers, Beferush Shmili Mine de Mor, I heard in an explicit fashion from Mor. Mor is, when Abaye is speaking, it's a reference to Rabba. So he says, I heard from Mor, Ad Kan Lo Pligi Rabbono Lei de Rabbe Lozer, Ela de Ise Be'ene. We know that the Rabbonon disagree with Rabbe Lozer, only they can lo pligi rabbona le elo di sibene. They argue with Rabbi Lazar when you're dealing with something that is that's around, that's the ise beene avo bichisaron. But when you're dealing with something that's missing, modu le, they will concede to Rabbi Lazar. Let's go over this point again. Rabbi Lazar is known to have exempted one who offers up one of these items, one of these sacrificial items, he exempts them unless the entire substance is offered. Let us say that you had a complete minchas kohanim, for example. It's complete. Just that one offered part of the substance, didn't offer up the whole thing. The rest is still there. Well, Rabbi Eliezer will say that is exempt, and the Rabbanon will say that carries with it guilt. However, if some actual substance is lost, is completely lost, not that he merely offered part of it and left over part of it, but he offered part and only part because the rest of it is missing, well, even if that's the case, even the Rabbanon will concede to Rabbi Lezer that there is exemption. So this comment of Avol b'chisaron module, if there is chisaron, the Rabbanon will concede to Rabbi Lezer that there is exemption. Lav de chaser b'chutz, is it not including the case where the loss took place only after it left the Azara. Namely, it left the Azara complete and got lost. Some of the substance got blown away or lost outside the Azara. And from this, we would see an answer to the question that Chisaron Bachutz Shmei Chisaron is considered a real issue, a real lacking, and hence there would be exemption. Lo. That's not the case. The case that we just mentioned, that Bechisaron Module, that's a case, the Choser Bifnim. That means before it was ever taken out of the Azara, already some of it became lost. That's a real loss. And hence, if there was a chisaron bifnim, and then the substance, the sacrificial item, was taken out and offered up, there the Rabbanan would agree that there is exemption. However, if it were taken out complete, and only then some of the substance got lost, that might not be as severe a loss, so to speak. And hence, even the partial offering would carry with it guilt. The Gemara goes on. Toshma, we try again. The chulon shechosru vehikrivon bachutz poter. The Mishnah mentions that any of the examples of sacrifices mentioned in the Mishnah that became diminished and were offered up outside, there is exemption. Lav the chazer b'chutz, is it not talking about our very question where the diminishing took place outside the Azara? Namely, it was the sacrifice was carried out complete and became diminished outside the Azara. Loi, that's not the case. The chazer b'fnim, the diminishing took place already earlier, while it was still in the Azara. And that's why the subsequent offering up outside would be exempt. However, as far as our original question, that does not remain, is not concluded from this, and it could very well be that Chisaron Bechutz would, when the balance is offered, would actually carry with it guilt. Hamakriv Kochim. The Mishnah mentioned that if one offers a sacrificial meat and there's attached to it the innards being the substance of the sacrifice that is supposed to be offered. So one did this. He offered meat with innards attached to it on a forbidden altar, an external altar outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah ruled that that would be chayev, that would carry with it guilt. The Gemara asks, Amai, why should that be guilt-worthy? Va'iko chatzitza. Is there not an interposition, a chatzitza, between the innards and the actual altar? The innards being the problematic substance, but it's attached to the meat. And as such, the meat is a chatzitza, is an interposition between the altar and the innards, so why should that be considered guilty? The topic heading we have on the side, Gimel Hezberim, three explanations will follow in the Gemara. Lelomo Chayov Hamakriv Emunah B'chutz B'zman Shebosur Mechubra Lehen. Why should it be that one who offers the Emurim outside the Beis HaMikdash, why should he be guilty when you're talking about a case that the meat is attached to them? Voiko Chatzitza. There is a chatzitza, the boser eno bar hakrova. The meat itself is not something that's sacrificial worthy. Namely, it's not worthy of being offered up, of being burnt. So the Gemara answers, Omar Shmuel b'shehofchan. The case that the Mishnah features is after he placed them on the, placed this meat innards combination on the external altar, he flipped it over in such a way that the innards were facing the fire of this external mizbeach proper, directly, so that there was no interposition, and hence he's considered guilty of ha'aloas chutz. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, filu teimo, even if you say shelo hafchan, he simply put it on the Mizbeach that way, with the meat facing downwards, so to speak, and the innards above it, and the innards are not touching the altar, the external altar directly, the Ha'amani, and the Mishnah that holds that he is guilty, is according to whom? Rabbi Shimon he. This fits in with Rabbi Shimon's scheme of things. Yomar, afilu helo al hasela. Rabbi Shimon says that there is guilt incurred by external offerings, even if it's not on a built mizbeach, even if it's on a random stone. So with that in mind, the halachas of the need for it to actually be touching the altar fall away, because the requirements, or the detailed requirements of an altar similar to that which is in the Beis HaMikdash, don't exist according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that guilt can be incurred by offering even on a stone, so that there is no actual need for a built altar, and as a result of that, the need for the innards to touch the altar don't exist, and therefore there is guilt even if the meat is between the innards and the place that he's burning it. We can say, in other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Avera is not the violation of the sin of offering up outside isn't limited to offering on a constructed Mizbeach. It's the mere fact that something is being burnt, the emphasis being placed on the action of it being burnt outside the Beis HaMikdash, and not so much the method in which it's being burnt. The mere fact that it's being burnt outside the Beis HaMikdash carries with it guilt, according to Rabbi Shimon, thereby suspending the problem posed by the issue of chatzitza. Rav has a third approach to why the meat does not pose a problem. Min bimino eino chotzeitz. The meat is part of the animal, just as the innards are part of the animal. And they are considered in this sense like substances, even though halachically the meat is not to be offered up, but nevertheless it's part of the animal, it's the same substance, and there's a rule that min bimino, when you have like substances, eino chotzeitz, it, in this case the meat, does not pose a problem, so to speak, of chatzitza. And as a result of it not serving as a chatzitza, the iser, the violation of halos chutz, with regard to the innards, takes place. The Mishnah. Mincha shelo nikmitza v'kriva b'chutz poter. If a meal offering is brought and offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash prior to the handful being removed from it. So since a mincha in such a fashion is not fit to being offered in the Beis HaMikdash, by offering it outside the Beis HaMikdash, there is no guilt. Kamsa, one has a meal offering and the handful of meal offering was removed. The chazar kamsa l'socha, and the handful, which is the part of the meal offering that's supposed to be offered on the Mizbeach, got mixed up back in the rest of it. V'hikriva b'chutz. And then this was offered, this mixture, so to speak, with the kemitz had fallen back into the rest of the baked goods. And then it was offered entirely in that form on an altar outside the Beis HaMikdash. That would be chayav. The Rashi points out the reason that that's chayav, because a situation similar to that in the Beis HaMikdash would have been considered a legitimate offering. And if someone who had dedicated a meal offering had removed the handful and it fell back into the rest of the mincha, and he then put it on the Mizbeach in the Azara, he would have thereby fulfilled his mincha requirement, or his mincha, the mincha obligation that he had taken upon himself. Therefore, when a parallel example is offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash, it carries with it the penalty of halos chutz, the avera, the sin of offering up outside. The Gemara asks, why is in this last case where the koimetz falls back into the mincha, why is that guilty? Ve'amai livtali shirayim lakomets. Should it not be that the remnant of the remaining part of the mincha, which quantity-wise is much greater than the koimetz, the handful, why is it that the shirayim are not mevata? Why don't they void or cancel the minor amount that's represented by the koimetz? And since if the shirayim were mevatel, the koimetz, just like we know shirayim, the remnant part of the meal offering, if it's is not to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash, therefore if it's done outside the Beis HaMikdash, there would be no guilt. As we've mentioned numerous times in these recent sugyas, that the din of chutz, the violation of offering up outside, concerns only items that otherwise could have been offered inside, in the Beis HaMikdash. Omer Rabbi Zera answers, Nemra haktora b'koimetz v'nemra haktora b'shirayim. In the psukim, you'll find the word, or a word based on the word haktora in the case of the handful, and a word based on haktora found in the context of the shirayim, the remaining part of the mincha. Ma haktoras koimetz ein koimetz mevatel chavero. Just like in the case of the offering up of a handful, let us say that two meal offerings were brought, and the handful was taken from each one of them, and they got mixed up with one another. We say that both can be offered on the altar, and one does not cancel out the other. That creates a rule, or that represents a rule known in Hebrew as Ein Oilin Mevatlin Ze Et Ze. Items that are to be placed on the Mizbech don't cancel out one another. So just like we see by the koimetz ein koimetz mevatel chavero, af haktoras shirayim ein shirayim mevatlin koimetz. So too, the same principle, by virtue of this word comparison, we learn a chidush that even the shirayim are not going to cancel the koimetz. The Mishnah, hakoimetz v'halavoina shehikriv es echod mehen bachutz chayav. The koimetz, and there's the handful of a meal offering, and the lavona is a type of incense that's brought together with incense or spice that's brought together with a mincha. These two elements, the koimetz and lavona, are matir the shirayim. That means that when they are offered on the mizbeach, the koimetz and the lavona, the shirayim, the remaining part of the mincha, becomes mutter for the kohanim to benefit from, to eat. The Mishnah tells us that if one of them is offered up outside, the koimetz or the lavona, that would carry with it guilt of haloas chutz. Rabbi Lezer poter ach yakriv es hasheni. Rabbi Lezer says that there is no guilt of haloas chutz, of offering up outside, until one offers both elements, the koimetz and the lavona. Echod bifnim ve'echod bachutz. If one of these, the koimetz lavona, one of them is offered first inside the Beis HaMikdash, in other words, it's done properly, the achar, and then bachutz, means afterwards, the second one is offered up outside, that second one is the completion, so to speak, and the mincha is dependent on that. So the Mishnah says, since that is the completion, the second one is the completion of what needs to be offered, and he happens to do it outside the Beis HaMikdash, he will thereby be guilty. The first section of the Mishnah, which was noted by a Roman numeral number 1, featured the koimetz and lavona. The second section of the Mishnah, which is represented by Roman numeral number 2, shnei bozichei lavona. The lechem haponim, which sat in the hechal of the Beis HaMikdash, the what's known in English translations as the showbreads. There were 12 loaves that sat in the Heichal from Shabbos to Shabbos. Every Shabbos they were called the Lechem Aponim, and they were distributed to the service groups of Kohanim that were leaving and entering on Shabbos to serve that next week. What enabled the Lechem Aponim to be consumed by the Kohanim? It was the offering of the Bozichei Levona. Bozichim is the name of the receptacle that held the Levona spice in it, and that those Bozichei Levona would be offered on the Mizbeach in the Azorah. So the Mishnah tells us that concerning the Shnei Bozichei Levona, if one of them is offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash, Chayav, that would be an Isser of Haluas Chutz. Rabbi Lezer Poter Ad Sheyakriv Es HaSheni. Rabbi Lezer says there is no guilt until both are offered up outside. Echad Bifni Vechad Bachutz, Chayav. If one is offered properly in the Azor and the second Bozich is offered up outside, that being the completion that would thereby incur the guilt of Haluas Chutz. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's take advantage of our topic heading that we see in the outside margin. She'elosei Reb Yitzchok Nafcha. The Gemara will feature Reb Yitzchok Nafcha's question. Hamakdir b'chutz hakoymetz v'lo halavoyna shel mincha. One offered up the handful of meal offering, but not the lavona of a mincha. Ha'im ze matir chatzi hashirayim. Does the fact that you offered up half of the matirs, half of the allowing elements. In our example, he offered the kometz up and not the lavona. Does that have an effect? Let us say it were done in the Beis HaMikdash. One offered up the kometz without the lavona. Is that matir chatzi hashirayim? Is it matir half of the remaining part of the mincha? Or maybe offering up one of the two elements doesn't matir, but rather machlish ho'isur al kol hashirayim. By offering up one, it reduces the level of severity concerning eating them. But that lightening of severity is called machlish ho'isur concerning all of the shirayim. Avolo matir oisom klal, but it doesn't serve to allow any consumption of the shirayim. It simply results in our viewing the consumption of them prematurely as less severe than had nothing been offered up. Boy Rabbi Zer, Boy Mitzok Nafcha, Kometz Mahu Sheyatir Kenegdo B'Shirayim. Someone offered up the kometz of a meal offering without the Levona, with the intention of half of the shirayim becoming mutter. Mishra shari oi aklushi miklash. Does it allow complete allowance for half of the shirayim, or does it simply weaken the prohibition of eating it prematurely, but it doesn't allow, it does not afford any allowance? The question has been asked. Ali Bodaman, according to whom is Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha raising his question? You'll notice a series of triangles, and they're featured under our Mivneh heading below on the outside margin. It says, you see a Mivneh, the structural note, and the triangle. Nisyoinois attempts levarer Ali Bodaezit Tana Sher Rabbi Yitzchok Eshelos. According to which Tana is Rabbi Yitzchok raising the question? So let's see. E Ali Bodae Rabbi Meir. If he, Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha, is raising his question within Shitas Rabbi Meir, the Omar Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir, Rabbi Meir holds that if you have two elements that are Matir a Korban, that allow a Korban to be enjoyed, and one has an incorrect mindset while offering one of those two elements, that creates Pigol. That's Shitas Rabbi Meir, that Pigol, even if the pigul thought is experienced during the offering of one of the two matirim, it creates pigul. So according to Rabbi Meir, there really is no question. Mishra Shari, it's clear that the offering of one of the matirs has the ability to allow, to completely allow the consumption of half of the offering. Because if it didn't completely allow, then there would be no pigul result in the event that he had an incorrect mindset. So from the fact that we saw Rabbi Meir hold that the pigul mindset creates Pigol, even though his mindset was only during one of the two Matirim, that indicates that if there was no incorrect thoughts, it would have the power of being Matir completely. Therefore, there is no question if Yitzchok is focusing on Shitas Rabbi Meir. E aliva derabbanan di amri ein mefaglim bechatzi matir. If he were asking within the Shita of the Rabbanan, the opinion of the Rabbanan, well, they hold that there's no pigul accomplished when one has his incorrect thoughts during the offering of only one of the two matirim. Well, therefore, lo mishra shari velo miklash kolish. Looking at the Rashi, lo mishra shari, klomar, dilma loha veloha. It could be that neither one of these is accomplished. Namely, there's no weakening and there's no allowance. How is it so clear to Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha, as we saw in the way we presented the question, does it allow or does it weaken? Maybe if you're focusing on the Shita Darbona, maybe nothing is accomplished by the offering up of one of the two matirim. Elo Aliba de Rebbe Elozer. Maybe Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha is asking his question within Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah. What did we see Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah saying? Well, he said that there is an exemption of Halo'as Chutz until you offer both of the Matirin. Therefore, we want to know within his Shita what significance is there in the offering up of one of the two Matirin with respect to the allowance of part of the Shirayim. Well, the Gemara rejects this too because Rabbi Lezer Karabonon Svirle Domar Ein Mefaglin Bechatzi Matir. We know that Rabbi Lezer holds like the Rabbonon that there's no Pigol when one has an incorrect mindset regarding one of the Matirin, and therefore, Velo Shari, Velo Miklish. There is no allowing nor any weakening. So finally, Elo Aliba de Rabbonon de Hocha. Rather, Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha's question is focused on Shitas HaRabbonon from our Mishnah. Now, we know that the Rabbonon of our Mishnah hold that if you offer up outside the Beis HaMikdash one of the Matirin, it's considered Chaya for Aloas Chutz. Therefore, it's considered a real Haktorah in the Azara. Now, the issue of offering up one matir in the Azorah and considering it a real Haktorah, well, Lagabi, what is it considered a real Haktorah? Is it a real Haktorah in the Azorah, inside, in the Beis HaMikdash, to be matir half, or simply to weaken the general Isser of eating a mincha prematurely? The Gemara inside now says, "My." Within Shitas Rabbanan of our Mishnah, the question is, Mishra Shari, Oi Kolish Miklash. Does it allow half of the Mincha completely, or does it simply weaken it? Teku. That issue remains unresolved. The Mishnah. Hazorek Miktsas Dam Bachutz. Imagine we have a Korban Chatos. A Korban Chatos is a sin offering that, technically speaking, has four blood applications on the Mizbeach. Let us say someone offered one of the four of the sin offering of a Korban Chatos Dam Bachutz, outside the Beis HaMikdash. Chayov. This is guilty. Rashi points out that the chiyuv here is according to all deos, even according to Rabbi Elozer that we saw in the previous Mishnah that said that when you have multiple matirs, you're not guilty of halos chutz until you offer all of the matirs. In the case of the matnas dam of the Korban Chatos, in fact, even though there are four Matnas Dam, B'dieved, one of the Matnas Dam is all that is needed to matir the Korban. And therefore, if that one is done outside the Beis HaMikdash, it would carry guilt, even according to Rebbe Lozer. Rebbe Lozer Omer, Av HaMenasech Mei HaChag B'Chag B'Chutz Chayav. Rebbe Lozer says that pouring the Nischei Mayim, the water offering, on Sukkis, outside the Beis HaMikdash, would be guilty. On Sukkis, there's a special Nisuch HaMayim that took place during the Yontif of Sukkis. So if one were to offer or to pour out water on an external to the Beis HaMikdash altar, that would be Chayav. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Shiorei Hadam Shikrivoi Bachutz Chayav. Rabbi Nechemya holds that the remaining blood of a sacrifice after the main blood applications are done on the Mizbeach, that which remains is called the Shirayim. Generally speaking, the Shirayim were poured on the base of the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Nechemya says that if you took these Shirayim that should have been poured on the base of the Mizbeach and you offered them outside the Beis HaMikdash, that would be Chayav. Apparently, Rabbi Nechemya is of the opinion that Shirayim are Ma'akvin, that in order for a Korban to be acceptable, in addition to the basic blood applications to the altar, one has to pour the balance of blood, the remaining blood, on the base. And therefore, if one did that action of binding, an action that otherwise is binding, and he does that outside the Beis HaMikdash, that carries with it the penalty or the offense of Haloas Chutz. Omar Rava, Umoide Rebbe Lozer Bedomim. Rebbe Lozer, who said previously that there's no chiyuv chutz on the offering of a chatzi matir, concedes that when you're dealing with the blood applications, one blood application is sufficient to incur the prohibition of haloas chutz. Disnan, Rebbe Lozer of Rebbe Shimon Oimrim, Mimokom sheposak hu maschil. What this source demonstrates is that a singular blood application in a sacrifice that has multiple blood applications, the single application has its own significance. And as a result of having its own significance, if you do a single blood application of a sacrifice that has multiple blood applications, and you do that one, and you do one of them outside, that incurs the penalty of haloas chutz. Now, he cited an example from a case where you have a chatas hapnimis. These are korban chatos, whose blood is applied to the inside the heichal. Let us say that one did one of the multiple blood applications that one is expected to do there, and then the blood spilled out. So he has to bring a replacement sacrifice, and their ruling is that you pick up from where you left off. Namely, if you did only one of the multiple blood applications before the blood spilled out, now that you bring the replacement, you pick up where you left off. So you see that the singular blood application that was done is of significance insofar as that you don't have to make it up. And therefore, if you do a singular blood application outside the Beis HaMikdash, that carries with it the penalty of haloas chutz. Rabbi Lozer Omer, Af HaMenasech Mei HaChag B'Chag Bachutz, the pouring of the water offering outside the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot time would be guilty. After all, that is something that could have been done in the Azara, and if you do that outside, therefore there is a Chiyuv Chutz. Before going on, let us look at the topic heading we have on the outside margin. Birur, a clarification or analysis, Mahu Habosis Ledivrei Rebbe Lozer Diyesh Isur Chutz Al HaMenasech Me'achag B'chag B'chutz. What is the basis for Rebbe Lozer's opinion that there is an Isur Chutz regarding the water offering of Sukkis. One possibility is that he learns that there is such a sacrifice in the first place from the word Nisocheha, which is a plural expression, which means there is a wine offering and a water offering. There's another source that might serve as Reb Elazar's source for the significance of the water offering, and that would be it's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. These two different approaches to what is the source for the water offering will have a bearing on the Gemara that we're about to see. Before we go into the Gemara itself, we've included a long point marking, a long nekuda. A nekuda is represented by the letter Nun that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. So all of the upcoming lines of Gemara are here to develop the following point. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Menachem Yudfa. Rabbi Elazar, that's Mechayev on Nisuch Mayim Bachutz, Beshitas Rabbi Kiva Raboy Omra. He is based on the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, the Omar Nisuch Mayim Doiraisa, that the water pouring is of a Torah basis. And as a result of it being of a Torah basis, if it's done outside the Beis HaMikdash, one will be Chayev. The Sanya, the source, appears. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Unisocheha. This is a word that appears in the context of the Sukkis offerings. B'shnei Nisuchim HaKosev Medaber. Torah is referring to two pourings. Echod Nisuch HaMayim VeEchod Nisuch HaYayin. We've dashed underlined the key part of this source for our sugya, that you see that Nisuch HaMayim is referenced in the Torah itself. And as we said before, therefore, if it's done outside the Beis HaMikdash, says Reb Elazar, it would be Chayev Mishum Haloas Chutz. At this point, we start a question. You'll notice the question is around several lines, as it's indicated by the long question marking. As you can see, the kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This marking shows that all of the lines of the Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line form the question. We also have employed a triangle in the question itself, and that's indicated or explained on the outside margin under our Mivneh heading. These are Shlavim, stages, Bekushyas Reish Lakish, in Reish Lakish's question. So, Omar Lei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, we are looking in the Gemara. Reish Lakish addresses Rabbi Yochanan and says, Ima lahalon shloishes lugin, afkan shloishes lugin. If just like the wine offering, it is the quantity of a wine offering is three lug, it's a liquid measure, the lug, so we know that wine offerings are three lug. Af kan, are you going to say too with regard to the water, shloishes lugin, that three lug are required? V'ha Reb Elazar me hachag ko'omar. Reb Elazar said the waters of Sukkis, which would include even less than three lug. There is a manda omar that holds that even that the me hachag was even less than three lug. Furthermore, ima lahalon b'shayim osel shana afkan b'shayim osel shana, but Reb Elazar b'chag ko'omar. If the Torah is comparing the water to the wine, well, just like the wine offering takes place throughout the year, the water offering would take place with regard to this halacha throughout the year. But Reb Elazar in the Mishnah doesn't expand the problem of chutz to water. With regard to water throughout the year, he limits it to Sukkis. But if it's compared or derived from the same word that features the wine offering, it would stand to reason that the Mei HaChag would be Chayav B'chutz throughout the year. Ishtamitze ho d'yomer v'as yomer v'yochanan. There is a Machlokis Rashi and Tosfos to whom this is referring. According to Tosfos, Ishtamitze is referring to Reish Lakish. Namely, the word Ishtamitze means he forgot. And according to Tosfos, it means Reish Lakish forgot. Reish Lakish, who raised this objection just now, he was the featured speaker in the long question marking. he didn't realize when he was asking the question the following: Ishtamitze ha di omer Rav Asi Rav Yochanan, that which Rav Asi in the name of Yochanan teaches, the omer Rav Asi Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Nechunya ish bikas beis chorsan, that the halacha that was said over in the name of Rabbi Nechunya, 3 points, only one of which is relevant to our sugya. Eser netios arova v'niso chamayim halacha lemoishe misinai. The rules governing the Nisuch HaMayim are an oral tradition. And as a result of that, the Nisuch HaMayim is not related to the Nisuch HaYayin, and therefore the objections that Reish Lakish raised in his question are really of no significance. And therefore, the halachas concerning Nisuch HaMayim outside the Beis HaMikdash are not to be compared to the Nisuch HaYayin, and therefore it's limited to the Chag, and it's not necessarily only if it's 3 lug. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamenasech Shloshes Lugin Mayim B'Chag B'Chutz, Chayov. Rabbi Lozer Omer, Im Mol'on L'Shem Chag Chayov. This source is focusing on Nisuch HaMayim Bachutz. And there seems to be a Machlokes Tanoim, but it's not clear what the point of difference is. Or, in other words, what's Rebbe Lozer coming to say any different than the Tanakama? My Binayu. What's the difference between these shitas? Omer of Nachman Bar Yitzchok, B'yesh Shi'ur B'mayim Komifligi. The basis of their machlokas is the issue of quantity that's associated with the water offering. The Tanakhama mentioned that if one is Menasech 3 lug outside the Beis HaMikdash, he would be Chayav. However, the truth is that one would be chayev according to the Tanakhama, even if he does more than 3 lug. Rabbi Lozer, who spoke about the water being filled up with the purpose of doing a holiday offering, his shita is that the just like the holiday offering is of a quantity of 3 lug, and not any more. Therefore, the kli shores, the service vessel that's used for the for this offering, will not mekadesh any amount other than that which is proper for it, that's designed for it. Let us look at Rashi. B'yesh shiur l'mayim. D'ka'omar Tanakama, Manasseh Shloshes Lugin, Chayov. The Tanakama who had said that pouring 3 lug outside carries with it a violation. V'adin l'yosu mishloshes lugin. So too would be if he offers more than 3 lug. D'yesh b'chlam mosayim mona, that within a large amount is contained the small amount. Therefore, if one offered 5 lug outside the Beis HaMikdash, within the 5 lug there is 3 lug. Even though he may have filled up this large amount in a large vessel, kachinu kli, the large service vessel will sanctify the water. The ein shiur lemeachag lemala. There is no upper limit to the amount of water when you're dealing with this nisuch hamayim of sukkis. The also Rabbi Lozer lemeimar v'hu shemil neshem chag kederech miluan. Rabbi Lozer says that the issue of haloas chutz of the nisuch hamayim is provided he filled up the vessel with the water as one would do the offering on Sukkot itself. Dahainu shloishes lugin vesulo. The amount that is required to be done is 3 lug and no more. Kedisnan sluchu shlozov machzekis shloishes lugin v'malam in hashiloach. As it is taught, 3 lug. It's taught in Masechah Sukkah that a golden vessel which held three lug, was filled up from the shiluach stream. Aval I have tvei lo kachinu kli. However, if there would be more than three lug, the vessel would not sanctify it. The lo chazule, because the greater amount is not fit, is not needed. Diyesh shiur lamayim, because there is a fixed quantity. Ve'en kli sharis mekachin ela roi lehem. And according to this approach, service vessels sanctify only that which is fit for them. So, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchok, the difference between the Tanakama and Rebbe Elazar would be a situation of, let us say, someone spilled outside the Beis HaMikdash 5 lug of water on Sukkis. According to the Tanakama, that would be Chayev, and according to Rebbe Elazar, it would not be Chayev, because those 5 lug never became sanctified in the first place, and hence never became roy to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa's a second approach to explain the difference between the Tanakama and Rebbe Elazar. Bekarvu nesochem ba midbar pligi. Now this is a very brief comment by way of numbers of words of the Gemara, but if one looks into the Rashi, one will discover much greater explanation. To say things in a very simple fashion, the difference between the Tanakama and Rebbe Elazar is, let us say one offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, he poured the water using a vessel that was not sanctified, a kli choil. According to the Tanakama, one would be guilty. And the reason for that is because the Nesachim, according to the Tanakama, don't require Kedushas Kli. According to Rebbe Elazar, one would be exempt. We have a brief summary on the inside margin under the heading Rashi Dibur Masul B'Kirboi. Ma Malame Bias Horetz Amura B'Parshas Nesachim. In the section of the Torah dealing with the liquid offerings, the Torah makes reference to upon the entrance to the land of Israel. What is the significance of the entrance to the land of Israel relative to the Nesachim? So we've written in the inside margin, the Tanakama holds Bomois Yochid Tunin Nesachim. Private altars, when they were allowed, sacrifices brought on the private altars require the Nesachim offering, the accompanying wine offering as well. The Hossam, and there, when you're dealing with private altars, it's well known, Ein Kli Shores. There's no requirement of having service vessels, sanctified vessels for the offering of sacrifices. Ad Kenisa L'Oretz, Hoyu Menaschin Arboim Shona B'Mishkan. According to the Tanakama, during their sojourn in the desert of 40 years, Nesachim were being offered. The significance, therefore, of the Pasuk telling us about when you come into the land of Israel, the Pasuk is telling us now that you're coming into the land of Israel, and now that there is no longer the restriction to the offering in the Mishkan, Nesachim will now be offered at private altars. And being that they're offered at private altars, we know that there is no din of kli shares. And therefore, since there's a precedent for using unsanctified or non-sanctified vessels for Nesachim, therefore, if one were to offer during the time of Isser Bomos, after the Beis HaMikdash is built, for example, one would offer outside the Beis HaMikdash using an unsanctified vessel. According to the Tanakhama, the unsanctified vessel is of significance, as there has been precedent for in the case of the Bomos. And therefore, since it is of significance, if one does it outside the Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash has been constructed, that carries with it guilt. On the other hand, continuing in our little note, in the upper inside margin, L'Rebbe Elazar, Yesh lahaschil nisuch rak acher kibush v'chiluk, v'rak b'mishkan. The posuk that speaks about the entrance to the land of Israel in the context of Nesachim, according to Rebbe Lozer is teaching us, Nesachim would start only after the land has been conquered and divided, and only in the Mishkan. The Lohayu Menaschim Kol Arboim Shana B'Midbar. And there was never any Nesachim offerings done during their sojourn in the desert. Memeilo Ein Nisuch Elo Mikli Shares. According to this approach, there is no allowance for drink offerings, wine offerings being done at Bomas. The whole significance of the Pesuk announcing the entrance to the land of Israel, according to Rebbe Lozer, is not upon the mere entrance, but rather after the land has been conquered and divided amongst the different tribes, and only after the Mishkan is set up, are then Nesachim to kick in, to so to speak, to start to their practice starting. As a result, there is no precedent for using unsanctified vessels. Therefore, if one were to use a kli that's not mekudosh, an unsanctified vessel, pouring from it outside the Beis HaMikdash, according to Rebbe Lozer, there would be no guilt. And finally, Ravina Omar, B'lemeidim nisuch hamayim mi nisuch hayayin pligi. To appreciate Ravino's approach, let's look at the Rashi. Ravino Omar, B'lemeidim nisuch hamayim, u'dekuliyamo korvu nisuchem amidbar. According to Ravino's approach, everyone would agree that nisuchem were offered in the midbar. U'bias haretz ha'omur b'nisuchem, and the entrance to the land that's mentioned in the Torah with regard to these nisuchem, libama ktana osa. V'karvu b'bama b'lo kiddush kli. According to this approach, everyone agrees with this as well, that the nisuchem were offered at the private altars without sanctified vessels. U'miyu b'nisuch ayayin ashkechan. This is found in the case of the wine offering. However, b'nisuch hamayim lo ashkechan, with regard to the water pourings, that we don't have evidence, we don't have proof of that. D'achayva sibor hein, those are public offerings. V'lo karvu el b'vama sibor b'kli sharis. And as far as standard procedure is concerned, the water offerings were done only in the public altar from service vessels. U'baha pligi, and the following is the point of disagreement between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Lozer. Tanakhama savar lemeidim nisuch hamayim minisuch hayayin. We do learn laws regarding the water offering from the wine offering. L'chayev b'chutz, to hold guilty one who does it, the water offering outside the Beis HaMikdash, v'afilu lo kitchu b'kli. Even if it's the water offering is done from an unsanctified vessel. Rebbe Lozer savar ein lemeidim. Rebbe Lozer says we don't learn water from wine. V'nisuch hayayin hu demischayav b'chutz b'lo kli. Only the wine would be guilty if one offers it from an unsanctified vessel. Avol nisuch hamayim kitshu in lo kitshu lo. With regard to the nisuch hamayim, only if it's offered from a sanctified vessel outside the Beis HaMikdash would there be a chiyuv of chutz, but if it's offered from an unsanctified vessel, there would be no chiyuv. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.